Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Our message today comes from the gospel passage you just heard. Life was good. Life was good for Thomas. He had spent the last few years in the shadow of his Lord. And during that time, life was great. He needed, all his needs were provided for. Food, shelter, clothing. His days were spent hearing Jesus preach and watching Jesus heal. Now, sure, it was not a life of luxury, but it was a life that he would not trade for anything. Life was good for Thomas until it wasn't. See, this past week was a nightmare. He saw someone whom he called Lord arrested, beaten, crucified, buried. And now he was hiding from potentially the very same fate. He had left his Jewish church to follow Jesus. Jesus, who confessed that he was the Son of God. And yet the Son of God seemed to be dead. And now, those who followed Jesus seemed to believe that they had seen him risen. The grave, they continued to insist, was empty. This was clearly just too much for Thomas. The very foundation of his faith was crumbling. And he wasn't sure where that would lead him. There's a story about a Norwegian vessel, the small Norwegian vessel that had been docked in an English port for a few days. One of those days happened to be Good Friday. And so the chief officer says to the captain, he goes, "Hey, do you want me to hoist the flag halfway up the pole?" Now the captain, having absolutely no context for this request, asks him why he would do that. And the chief officer replies, "Well, they said that Jesus died on this day." Where would Thomas hoist the flag? Would he be thinking, as he did, what would he be thinking? What would he be thinking as he hoisted that flag? His faith, so solid when he walked with Jesus, when life seemed good. But now, what once seemed logical, what once seemed certain, now seemed illogical, uncertain. God can't die, can he? And he most certainly wouldn't allow it at the hands of those he created. Would he? So who really was this Jesus that he had followed? And I really wonder if maybe in the deepest, darkest question in his heart was this. Had he, Thomas, been revealed to be gullible? Had he been led to base everything he believed on a lie? And now his fellow brothers and sisters were insisting that this Jesus they followed, this Jesus who claimed to be the Son of God, was alive, not in spirit, but in body. "Fool me once," he probably thought. He couldn't accept these claims, not on just the words of these people. For if he had been fooled, how much more had they been? For now, they're uttering things that were simply impossible. Jesus was dead. The previous years were a lie. He had been abandoned. They had been abandoned. Why couldn't these people accept this reality? Now, John records it this way. "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with him when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Now the translation doesn't do justice to Thomas's level of disbelief. This was not simply some weird scientific request. He wasn't stating that he wanted to study Jesus to determine if the body was physical and if it exhibited marks consistent with a crucifixion. This was none of that. This was exasperation. This was akin to him completely rejecting their claims, telling them to stop even thinking these thoughts. Stop talking this way, he was insisting. This is not possible. Just stop. It would take a miracle for me to believe what you're telling me. I would have to even thrust my hands into his hands and shove my hand into his side, and you and I both know that's impossible. So stop with all this craziness. That more accurately reflects his state of mind as recorded in this passage. The ship's flag would be set to half-mast. No question about it. But notice what happens next. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." In that moment, Thomas came face to face with the reality that his reason would only take him so far when it comes to the things of God. In that moment, he discovered that reason alone could only partially raise that flag up the pole. His mind alone could not process the reality that was speaking to him in that room. And yet, what happens next? In verse 28, Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Have you ever paused to consider the miracle encapsulated in this single response? A Thomas who relied on his intellect alone would have followed through with Jesus' request. He would have examined this living body that stood before him. Or at the very least, he would have questioned how a risen Jesus could even be possible. But Thomas does none of that. Instead, what does he do? He moves directly to confessing Jesus. Directly to confessing Jesus as God. He immediately raises the flag all the way up the pole. Reason alone doesn't account for this. So what happened between verse 27 and verse 28? The eyes of Thomas were opened. Not by his own work, not by his own intellect, but by the Spirit of God. It is he who opens the eyes of the blind so that they can see Jesus and proclaim him as Lord. And over again in John's Gospel, we see this play out. Nicodemus, a learned teacher, yet doesn't see who Jesus is. The Pharisees judge according to the flesh. They refuse to open their eyes and see who Jesus is. A physical blind man gradually coming into full confession of faith, his physical eyes and his spiritual eyes opened. You see, John's gospel concludes with this very thought. These things are written so that you may believe. Open your eyes. But here's the thing. You can't do it on your own. Just like Thomas. The most you can do is raise that flag halfway up the pole. It takes the actions of God to raise it all the way up. Had Thomas been revealed to be gullible? No, of course not. He had been revealed to be blind. 3 years he followed Jesus. 3 years he was blind. But Jesus didn't give up on him. Instead, Jesus came to him. Jesus gave him sight. By faith, the eyes of Thomas were opened. By faith, Thomas came to believe that Jesus was incarnate. By faith, Thomas came to know that Jesus was God. By faith, that flag was raised all the way up the pole. But this is not the end of the encounter. Jesus says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Those words are for us. Just like Thomas, we too stand blind and unable to open our eyes to the very things of God. Reason alone can only take us so far. And if we're being honest, life is good for us until it isn't. Until our own world has been shaken to the core. In those times, too, we might wonder if maybe, just maybe, God is not fully in control. Or maybe He's not interested in us. Maybe we've been gullible. And in those moments, we sound like Thomas. Lord, this doesn't make sense. Lord, this is not how it is supposed to go. Lord, if you are who you say you are, then why? Why this? But notice what Jesus does. He doesn't wait for Thomas to figure it out. He doesn't demand that Thomas first climb his way back up to faith. What he does is Jesus comes to him. And he comes to us also. He comes to you, not in a locked room, but in his word. He comes to you, not with visible wounds to touch, but with promises to hear. He comes to you in the waters of baptism. He comes to you in his own body and blood. And in these means, he does what you cannot do. He opens your eyes. He creates faith. He lifts that flag all the way to the top. And that's the point of Jesus' words. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. That's me. Not because we've figured it out, but because Jesus has come to us. So where is your flag today? Is it half-mast? Are you struggling? Are you hanging on by a thread? If so, hear this. Your faith does not rest on how tightly you hold on to Jesus. Your faith rests on how tightly He holds on to you. And you know what? He's not letting go. He'll never let go. The risen Christ still comes. The risen Christ still speaks. The risen Christ still gives sight to the blind. And by that gift, even you today can say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, risen and living, when our understanding fails and our faith falters, come to us as you came to Thomas. Open our blind eyes by your word and spirit and strengthen us through your gifts of grace. In your name we pray. Amen.